Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Do you like the Boop Show? We do too. It helps if you help us. Go to patreon.com/frogpants today.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show, episode 213. It's Monday, June 17th, and it's 2019. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Boop Show. B-O-O-P. Boop! It's where we talk about video games of a more, I don't know, unique nature. It's not always AAA titles is what I'm saying. Sometimes we like to, Brian and I like to dig deep into the world of indie titles and strange little sales, games that have been out for a few years that you didn't know about, that kind of thing. Sometimes new stuff, though. We have a few of those this week. But anyway, I'm very excited about it. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Dunaway. Hello, welcome.
Oh, hi, Scott.
Hi.
Yes, we do. We play all the video games. We're not picky. We're not going to go only AAA. No, sir. Actually, I've really enjoyed a lot of these services lately. It's been turning me on to games.
Yeah.
I would have never played.
You know what happened with me? I got that Microsoft PC Game Pass, and suddenly I'm in love with what everybody has been calling the best racing game ever, but I'm now in love with Forza Horizon 4. Forza. It's fantastic. It's so good.
It's great.
It's a great video game. I used to think Forza was all about serious simulation, and it was, you know, the motorsport series totally is, but this little offshoot thing is the best racing game because it's fun, real cars, but wacky stuff to do. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Wackadoo.
It's real good. Like, up to this point, I have been a burnout paradise forever kind of guy. I think I finally found a new king for the throne.
I like it. I enjoyed the crap out of it. I have a good time with it, but my younger one, she loves playing it as well. But she's of the generation that is all right with buying microtransactions, and she loves, let's get more of these things. And I don't do that. I just get on a race. What I got? What I got? The basics.
I don't want to buy a bunch of extra stuff. I just want to go race, get the thing, buy the new car, put a cool design on it.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. I'm running. Oh, I got a G-Sync monitor. Did I tell you about this?
No, you did not.
All hail to my friends over at Doghouse Systems. They carry great stuff. And one of the things I upgraded here recently was to a G-Sync monitor, which means it uses my card and specialty chip hardware in the monitor to create no more need for V-Sync. Now you got G-Sync, and it is smooth as pie. Now, some people say, oh, I get that with FreeSync and my AMD card, or even I think even NVIDIA supports FreeSync now. No, I know.
Right.
Those are cool, too. I'm not saying they're not. But there's something about a hardware solution that isn't just based on the cable you're using, because FreeSync is a DisplayPort 1.2 function, and G-Sync is like the monitor itself is doing the hard work. Anyway, I love it. Everything looks beautiful and looks like melted butter to me.
I love it. This is such a golden age again, because you know, growing up with the video games in the PC market, at one point in time, it was all about offloading stuff to a daughter card. And this kind of reminds me of it. It's like, oh, yeah, we got a better solution. Sure, we have a solution, but we got a better one.
Yeah. Oh, totally. That whole thing's happening right now. But it's real good. Anyway, the point is Horizon 4 looks amazing on that. And I'm running a RTX 2080, which doesn't hurt. And then what was the other thing I played? Oh, I downloaded and started playing that, what's the zombie game that Microsoft made? Originally, it was an Xbox Live Arcade game, ended up on Steam. State of Decay 2, that's it.
Oh, State of Decay 2, yes.
Played a bit of that, got kind of deep into that. I think that's a cool game. I mean, it's just fun digging into Microsoft stuff that I haven't played because I don't have an Xbox. I just don't play Xbox games. So I have in the past, but this generation, they just didn't do it for me, so... been kind of PlayStation, Switch, and PC, mostly PC.
And there's almost no excuse for not having an Xbox at this point, because I'm seeing the One S pop up all over the place for like $160 on sale. If you keep
it makes me want to grab one for reals, even though we're about to change over and do a new generation. At least I get a year out of it.
Yeah.
But this gamepad, but that's what's motivating me. It's not the hardware. It's not the capability. It's not even the game lineup. It's a service. Game Pass as a service turns out to be the best deal in gaming, like straight up. And the PC one, which is currently in beta, is only costing me $5 a month. If I get an Xbox, I just go the straight 14 and pay for Xbox Live.
Yeah, get the ultimate
game.
Get
the Game Pass there and Game Pass on PC. Like, what a dumb, no-brainer, dumb idea. Like, that is where Microsoft may win me this next generation. That kind of services thinking is going to be huge. And if Sony wants to keep getting my money, they have to come up with something similar, and I'm not sure they can. Mm-hmm. And they don't have the PC side of it, right? They don't make Uncharted for PC. They don't make Last of Us 2 or 1 for PC. Like, they don't play in that road. So I'm all for this. I think it's awesome. People are going to freak out and think, oh my gosh, Scott has become like a complete Microsoft pusher now.
No. Me and you have talked about this many times. We have no loyalty.
I'm agnostic.
The best service.
Yeah. I'm platform agnostic. Totally. I will play wherever I'm having the most fun, getting the best deal or whatever combination of those things there are. And right now, Sony makes incredible first-party titles that are very hard to avoid.
Absolutely.
And Microsoft doesn't as much, but this new services thing is incredible and makes me want to pay for it. Like, just straight up take my money. And I think everybody needs to kind of go this way. Like, I'm disappointed as hell that Stadia is just another, it's basically just another console, and you buy a game for $50 or you don't.
I
wanted that to be a little bit more a la carte kind of deal.
And we're going to find out. I'm going to dig a little deeper, because I did pre-order during E3. So I've got the Founders Edition, which is it comes with the Chromecast HD. It comes with a controller, special controller limited for just the Stadia. And then 3 months of service for myself, and then 3 months of services for someone else.
Yeah.
Possibly either someone on the show, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. By the way, Sidney in the chat just said something I think is important. He says, Sony will continue to make games that will drive you to play. Will drive you to play them because of how good they are and not because they are convenient. That may be true, but I'm not sure they can sit on those laurels for too long, because Microsoft's also investing in first-party development, and I think that's a big deal. So anyway, going to be an interesting next generation.
No one in the game in the industry has ever been able to just sit on their butt.
No.
It's always a turnover. Yeah, always a turnover.
Always. You can't just rely on what worked last time. You got to do what works this time, son.
That's right, Wii U.
Like, for example, the Switch version of Cadence of Hyrule. I say version. There's no other version of Cadence of Hyrule. It's strictly a Switch joint. Now, Brian, you know about
the Hyrule?
Dance of the, what is it? Dance of the Necro Beast. What is it? What am I trying to say?
Dance of Necromancer, right?
Mancer, Rhythm of the Necromancer. Help me, chat room. Why can't I think of the full name?
I thought it was the first thing you said.
No.
Just Necromancer.
No, it's some Necro Dancer.
Necro Dancer?
Crypt. Crypt of the Necro Dancer. So it's a game that's on Steam, Switch, all the consoles, iOS, Android. It's a game where you move to the beat while you kill stuff in dungeons. It's a roguelike, all right? Those guys got with Nintendo, and Nintendo said, yo, what if you made one of these games and it worked with one of these games for the Switch, and it was all set in the Zelda universe? Then what would you say? And they said, oh my gosh, we would do that in a heartbeat. So they did. They made it, and it's great. I cannot say enough good things about this weird-ass game for the Switch. It's $24, I want to say. Maybe it was 24
bucks.
I think it was 24. But you go around, you got Link, and he's hopping to the beat, and the music's real good, because it's and it's all the same Zelda music, but it's doing it to this like awesome techno beat,
right?
Which is very reminiscent of what was going on in Crypt of the Necro Dancer. It's easily the best.
I thought
Zelda.
You were saying it was similar to it, but it's actually a part of the game of the Crypt of the Necro Dancer.
Not really. I mean, the chick from Necro Dancer is there, and she helps. She helps teach Link what to do, but that's it. That's her job. She's done.
Oh,
and she's out of there.
I'm looking at the title of the game on the Switch right now. It says Cadence of Hyrule, Crypt of the Necrodancer featuring the Legend of Zelda.
Yeah. I mean, they say that, but it's not. The Crypt of the Necrodancer is a totally different game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Separate from this.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is all, this is like all, hey, universe, what if our worlds collided? It's, it is kind of like that.
Ah, there you go. There you
so
go. I get it now.
What's different about it, though, is it features a ton of this puzzle stuff that you would find in a Zelda game, but also retaining this sort of weird rhythm thing. And when you're not in a fight, when there's no enemy on screen, you don't have to move around to the beat. You can do whatever you want. But when there's dudes on screen, you need to...
You better straighten up.
You got to straighten up, start dancing right. It's real good. It's real, real good. I really like it. I think it's the best... I don't know what other things to compare it to, but easily the best Zelda spinoff game anyone's ever made.
Right.
That's easy for me to say, and I'm saying that now.
That's high praise.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. The only thing I wish about it was longer. I haven't got beaten it, but I keep hearing that it's relatively shortish compared to even Necrodancer, which was kind of roguelike-y. This has an actual ending to it, is my understanding. I haven't confirmed that, so I don't know for sure. But it's neat. It's real neat.
It sounds super neat.
Yeah, while you're sitting around waiting for Link's Awakening, comes out in September, this is a great distraction. So I recommend it highly. Again, it is Cadence of Hyrule, available now on the Nintendo Switch. I bought it and downloaded it digitally. You can get it on disc as well, I believe. Not disc, but cartridge. And
where at? Down awesome. To the GameStop?
I don't actually know where you'd get that now. Where do you go to
I'd probably go to the GameStop. I like my GameStop still.
I don't go there very often.
I hear people complain and say, oh, GameStop's days are numbered, and they may be. But it's still there, just like my stupid Barnes & Nobles that I still love going to.
Well,
it's
still there. I like them too. But so, yes, while they're there, let's use them. Let's go there.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Because one day I look back and go, man, I miss Friday nights at Blockbuster.
Yeah. So there you go. Check it out. That game's great. Brian, tell me all about City of Brass. I have this too.
Oh, I'm going to tell you all about it. You should have it because it is free or was free last week, I believe, on the Epic Game Store. Might have even been the week before then because we hadn't even done E3 yet.
Right.
So, this is a first-person adventure with roguelike elements based in an Arabian Nights story. So, just like Arabian Days, more hotter than not. That's not how that goes.
No.
The City of Brass is like I said, it's a roguelike. It's really a dungeon crawler is what it kind of is. First-person kind of dungeon crawler. Everything is procedurally generated. Every room you go into, you'll walk into a room. And of course, you're trying to constantly dodge these traps and things because you're a thief. At least that's who I started as. You can play as other characters as well, but I only played as the thief, so I'm going to go with his storyline.
It's never the same. Every time you start a run, it's always different. Yep.
That's right. The rooms are all different, and they're separated in rooms. So you'll enter a room as the thief, as I played. And you'll have to avoid traps that are already there, and also the skeletons who are there moving about trying to kill you. And there's different types of skeletons that are going to try to kill you, and they're all a bunch of dicks. But in the meantime, you get to collect lots of brass. And what do you do with that brass? Well, you keep it in your pockets, and you start getting a little slower. No, you don't. But you do collect all the copper you can get, or all the brass, excuse me. Yeah. And then you'll as you go along, you'll run into little genies. And so they'll be sitting around like a little genie store and going, I have these upgrades. Yep. Would you like an upgrade? How about something for your whip?
That's right. I got a whip. The whip is
or
amazing.
Or something for your
whip is so
the
good.
Whip is amazing.
Yeah. It's really good.
The whip is addicting. So you got other weapons too, but the de facto you start with the whip. And eventually I started getting kind of lazy. And with this whip, it's kind of like a grapple. So you can whip something and pull it towards you. And so I was spending a good bit of time I walk in a room and I'm like, oh, what can I reach my whip? I can get that.
Yep.
And so I did a lot of whipping. Real good.
Yeah.
And so then wait. What else is there going on? There's like, oh my God, that's pretty much it for me.
I mean, that's kind of it. You go in, you do a run, you try to live.
Game.
It's hard. I mean, it's the goals are simple, but the combat's not easy. You try to do combos like stun with your whip, swipe with your your sword afterwards. If you popped some kind of vase and out pooped a bunch of brass and you can't reach it, you can reach it with your whip. So you just whip it and it'll come back to you.
Real good.
Very Indiana.
That's an achievement,
Jones.
Too. You get a whip it real good achievement.
Yes, it's pretty cool. It is awesome. I really like it. And the fact that it was free on the Epic stores.
For free.
Yeah.
And they're still developing. This is from the people. This is from the senior developers of BioShock. By the way, at the end of this show, I would like to give away BioShock, BioShock 2, and BioShock Infinite.
Whoa, look at you. BioShock Trilogy there is what you're doing.
Trilogy there. That's right. By the way, I played this. I twitched this before E3, yeah. City of Brass, and my favorite thing about this game is this Twitch connectivity. So you can connect this game to Twitch,
yeah.
And in the chat room, the people can type in certain commands, and it will help you play the game. They can give you health, and there's like a cooldown period. But like somebody in the chat room could go like, you know. I forget exactly what it is.
It's like just a command, like sharp, a console command.
Yeah. Like sharp G health or something like that. And then, you know, their name will pop up and it'll say, so-and-so gave you health, and you go pick it up and it helps you along because this game is kind of brutal.
Yeah.
This City of Brass, it is kind of brutal. But one of my favorite things is they can auto-generate like a helper person who will help you fight.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't do anything to actually help you fight, but the character pops up and he's kind of a little sidekick there for you. And, it really helps you along.
You know what's weird is how much of it reminded me of playing BioShock. There's a creepy factor to it that is very BioShocky. It's obviously very different than BioShock in the setting and really everything, but something about it. I don't know if it's art direction or if it's just the way some of these skeletons behave. It's very, for me, it was very reminiscent of BioShock.
It very much reminds me of, BioShock has those enemies that are generally charging.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of like, was it Serious Sam?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, Serious Sam.
The ones you're that like go, you're...
Yeah, exactly. There's like there's some charging skeletons that's exactly what they do. They yell at you when they run at you and it freaks you out. But you always feel like things are charging you.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where that a lot of that similarity for me feels. It's like, oh, why are you coming at me?
Yeah.
Back up, buddy.
Yeah. No, you're right. And it's hairy because you know when you're dead, you're dead. Like you're gonna die,
right?
So you need to live as long as you can and do the best you can. Get all the brass you can. Isn't there some kind of timer too?
I'm not sure about the timer. I never reached the timer. I usually die before then. But it's very frustrating because you're trying to get past. It doesn't really. You're not like moving like like in a map area where you go like, oh, here's room one, here's room two, here's room three. You know, each time they're generating the rooms randomly, and you have to make it through so many rooms to complete that area of the city, even though it's not the same rooms every time.
Yeah.
It always changes. But the number of rooms is always the same for you to get out of there. So
yeah, the time part is my only complaint because I don't like being told I have to hurry. I hate that.
Yeah.
That's just it
kind of takes away the strategy a little bit too, because mm-hmm. you can't learn a room and then, you know, figure out how to beat your enemy.
Right.
You kind of have to learn it as you go along. I did like how much one thing I loved about the gameplay, I loved the abilities to catch a lot of things on fire. So that really helped me a lot. There's like certain areas you can explode, you know, and really creates a big splash damage. And that's always fun and exciting. But then the thing I really hated was the floor map texturing. The texturing of the floor is kind of not super easy to distinguish between just a regular floor and when you're about to walk over a trap.
Yeah, I just saw him. In fact, it's funny you said that right when you did, because the video we're watching, he had just approached a trap and stopped and realized it and whipped it, which made it open, and then he could go around it.
Yeah, I did that so many times. I'd just be walking along, and I'm like, everything looks good here. Yeah. All of a sudden, spears.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on in this game. It's very odd. Very almost like first-person Prince of Persia in a lot of ways.
Arabian.
Yeah, kind of just Arabian Nights kind of stuff. Did you try any? Well, let's see. The thief is the one with the whip, right?
Right. That's who I played. There's several other characters. Let me see.
There's a projectile character that I haven't tried yet that I want to play because I'm more of a ranged guy. I would like to shoot at range.
It might be more exciting, I think, because I did get kind of frustrated, like I said, with just playing.
Right.
Playing the thief. I never could quite get far enough to play to the next character. Let me see. I said down here at the bottom. Come on, Paige, load faster.
Load, Paige.
Uppercut, by the way, Uppercut Games is the developer. Do check their stuff out. They've kept up with this game.
They just if they lost the time mechanic, I would like it a lot more than I already do, because I do think it's pretty great.
right? You got your Vengeful Traveler, almost played her. There's only two people unlocked when you first start, the Thief and the Vengeful Traveler. I went with the Thief. There's a Soldier, a Brigand, and there's a Magical Hellion who is kind of like, he's the, basically the he's the genie, essentially. And then there's a crossbow-toting Revenant, which is probably what you would like, because that's the skeleton. That's a lot of the Revenants you're fighting.
We call him Crossbow Chris. Is what we call him.
Yeah, Crossbow Chris.
Yeah, he's doing it, making it happen. Still, so not free anymore, right?
No, but it's worth it. Still, I mean, I would have paid upwards of $24.95 for this game.
Yeah, because you would have had to, but also I don't think I would have known about it had it not been for that free run.
Totally.
I hadn't even heard of this thing until then.
Yeah, and so the add-on content is, that's the question. I haven't got any of the add-on content. Is that a purchasable thing?
I don't know.
Or is it all free DLC? Because everything I've seen so far seems to be free. I don't even see where we can buy anything else.
Chat room says I'm aggressive. Let me see that. What's that about?
I'm aggressive.
Oh, it's a video. Let's see what it says. Here, I'll unmute it. Here we go.
You're like your... Yeah, exactly. Oh, that.
The guys that run after you and Sam. All right, we'll get it. Go get it. City of Brass, Epic Store, exclusive at the moment. I'm sure that's coming somewhere else soon enough.
Well, is it exclusive? Because you can buy it on Steam now for $20.
Oh, I missed that. Okay, maybe
it
is.
So there is one DLC. It's a soundtrack. Soundtrack's pretty cool. I don't know if I'd pay $5 for it.
It's good, but it's cool. Yeah, if you like that kind of Arabian Nights kind of music, you'd probably like it.
Right.
My next game is Dauntless for the PC. This is also a Epic exclusive on PC at the moment, although you can play this on Xbox. I'm not sure about PlayStation, but I've played a bunch of games with randos that were cross-platform. They were playing on an Xbox. Yes. I was playing here, and it tells me down at the bottom what platform they're on. Dauntless is Monster Hunter, basically.
Yes.
Kind of bald-facedly so. Like, it is just straight up, hey, what if we made a Monster Hunter clone? The difference here is...
And then gave it to you for free.
Yes, made it free to play, number one. Number two, stylistically, very different.
Yes.
This thing is a lot of sort of, I wouldn't say low polygon, but kind of that, I don't know what to compare it to. There's lots of games like this now, but just this like kind of beautiful, chunkier style.
Ah, there you go. Chunky style. Chunky. That is a good way to describe it.
Fortnite-y, maybe. Yeah, but... You say Fortnite-y chat room. The characters maybe are Fortnite-y, but the world isn't. The world's very, very odd. It's an odd world that looks like it's made of lots of sharp polygons, and I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's different than say something like Fortnite.
It's kind of stylized, but not too much so. It's just on the border of being stylized, right?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. It's definitely stylized, but they don't go so far with it that, like, look at those cliffs, chat. Do you see what I'm saying? Those cliffs, the trees, the ground, it's all very handcrafty looking. Like, it's not meant to be photorealistic by any stretch. And you go in there with four of your friends or some strangers, or I guess you could go by yourself, and you try to kill these big, giant, mythical creatures who give you their stuff when they die. Like, you want their bones and their feathers and their whatever. And then you go back to the main hub city, and you go in there and you craft stuff that you got from these creatures. The early levels are pretty straightforward, you doing that. But then things get complicated where you need different kinds of regents that you have to grind for. They only drop sometimes. Sometimes you got to pay extra, and you can, you know, do microtransactions to sort of hurry some of that up. It's pretty cool. I'm still not sure I'm a Monster Hunter structure fan. I don't know if I love that or not.
I think you really have to be into the grinding, because it is a lot of kiting, getting, especially if you play it by yourself. I played single player mostly. I didn't feel like my skills were at a level that I could add anything to other players. So I did a lot of just, you know, running around, you know, learning their attack moves.
Right.
And then trying to counter those. And they don't go down easy either, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a little bit of Dark Souls, you know, in the sense that you got to memorize their moves and parry at the right time and thrust at the right time and all that stuff.
Were you using heavy weapons or light weapons? What were you?
I experimented around a little bit. I used the big sword, the single sword, for a while. Then I used the two chain things with the hooks on them forgot what it's called. I used, or I want to use guns, but you can't get those till level 5 or something.
Right.
So you can't try them.
I didn't use guns, but there was a heavy hammer that you could use, and it would build up energy, and you could project those energies.
Oh, yeah. The hammers and axes seem pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right.
It's fine. I'm just not sure, because these games at their essence are basically just all boss fights. Like, that's what these games are.
Yeah.
Collect some things while you're out there, but for the most part, you're having a boss fight. And when you're done with that boss fight, you leave. I think people really like it, and I'm glad they do. I just cannot get the genre to flip for me. Like, I think obviously more fun with friends. And I'm going to give that more of a chance with some friends just to, you know, do it. But like Monster Hunter, I feel like, and the Souls games for that matter, I just feel like everything in those games is a boss fight. And that's not my favorite thing in a video game.
And these are fast games for me. They each match, I think, was lasting me between 8 to 15 minutes while I was playing by myself, probably a little faster with other people. But I really feel like this is a game that I could just, you know, be like a Saturday afternoon and go, yeah, I think I'll hop on Dauntless for a few minutes. It's free anyway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe knock a couple of monsters out and kind of leave it at that.
Yeah.
It's not something that looks like I would stay. I wouldn't probably play like hours at a time, but it's a fun jump in and out game for me.
It's a genre that's extremely popular, and I acknowledge that. I think it's just not for me so much. But it's cool. So check it out. It's free. You can't go wrong with free. It is still very beta. There's lots of glitches and bugs. This thing is nowhere near done. But it is good enough to give you an idea how it plays, and it's pretty good. And I guess if you are a fan of Monster Hunter, you're just going to love this, because this just feels like more of that. And, you know, give you something.
We should play like a round or two of this one day. It wouldn't take long.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too bad. What's the max teams? Like 4 or 5? I forget.
I think 4 is the max.
Is it 4?
Or is it 3?
I don't know. 3 is the new hotness. You notice at E3, like all the 3-player games that are coming? It's crazy.
Yeah, the 3 games. When people complained at first, it's like 3.
Yeah.
But now there's something. Going, maybe 3.
There must be a magic. Something magic about 3. I don't know what it is, but something. I don't know.
Right.
Anyway,
I think you're much less likely to have a person drop out of a group of 3.
Yeah.
As opposed to a group of 4. I thought about that before, because I'm like, when I'm in a group of 4, I'm like, if I leave, it'll be all right. But if you're a group of 3 and you're like, I'm leaving, I'm like, oh, I can't leave my two buddies here by themselves.
Yeah, you can't leave them by themselves.
Can't do that. That's wrong.
My other complaint is killing that thing takes too long. I'm just going to put it out there.
Oh, it does take too long, but it's interesting. I actually like I like some of the progressive how the fight progresses. So instead of like there's like certain points in the fight. Like if you're fighting a creature who has a tail, but he uses a flip move usually to attack you with his tail, he may change up. If you all concentrate on his tail and you knock his tail off, it'll change his fighting style.
Yeah. He'll be weakened, or he'll have to rely on a different learn ability, and you got to kind of pay attention to that. But yeah, I fought some lizard thing and chopped his tail off about halfway through the fight, and then he was a totally different creature to fight.
Right, right.
Which I think is very Monster Hunter also. I've not played enough Monster Hunter to be an expert by any stretch, but it does feel like this game's
borrowing. I've played more Dauntless than Monster Hunter, so there you go.
I think it's they're in the same genre, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, worth checking out. Again, free. Go check it. Brian, tell me about, I've been playing this too, Outer Wilds.
Outer Wilds is fantastic. When I saw it, the first person I thought of was, Scott needs to play this because it's in space.
Yeah, I grabbed it on sale. Got it on sale over there at Epic with that weird $10 off anything sale they had.
Oh, did you? Did you get it? So you have it for the PC. I played this on the Xbox Game Pass. Mm-hmm. So it was free to me, minus my monthly fee. So Outer Wilds is an open world open space exploration game, and you get to play as a group of aliens who live on this planet, and these planets are a lot of fun because, you know, when you think of a planet, you think of, you know, you're so small compared to the planet, but all these planets in this game, they're only like, I don't know, they're probably like, it's like being in not even a city, like a town. I mean, it's like if you lived in a small town and that was actually a planet. That's kind of how it is. Like a village. It's almost like village planets. That's probably a good way to explain it. Yeah. So what you're doing is your people have in your four eyes, by the way, you bunch of four eyed freaks. Your alien people have been studying this other alien culture who had spaceflight already, and you've taken some of that technology and you've built your own spaceflight program. And so you take that, and you're an astronaut, and you launch. You play a little lunar lander. You launch your ship into space. It's made out of looks like wood and steel in some places, and it's like this ragtag looking spaceship.
It's a really cool art style, for sure.
The art style is a lot of fun. Yeah. Everything is like a little bit off intentionally.
Yeah.
And so it looks like, what am I thinking of? Like,
stuff's made out of bamboo.
Did you ever see Thundar the Barbarian? It kind of reminds me of that kind of stuff.
A little bit.
Yeah, you have broken planets that have been just decimated. Mm-hmm. And so the fun part of this is trying to explore and discover more about this alien culture that came before you that left behind all this technology. That's the storyline. The gameplay is this ever-changing world and universe.
Yeah.
So
don't forget the 30 minutes of game. No, is it 20 minutes? Whatever it is. 20 minutes of game time intro. To do anything. Yeah. And then it resets. The place goes supernova and you start over. Yeah. Yeah. And you got to unravel more of the mystery by trying different things.
That's the fun part. What happens is, instead of having procedurally generated locations, what happens is they have procedurally generated destruction. Mm-hmm. So when you go to explore a planet in the solar system, if you go one time, you may discover some things that you're looking for to continue the storyline. But also what might happen is some type of gravitational flux might happen in that planet. And next thing you know, everything that was there has crumbled or has gotten sucked into outer space. And so you think you're going to go in a very linear way, but you really can't, because sometimes you'll explore an area and what you're looking for isn't actually there because it's been destroyed. And right. Yes, the supernova effect really freaks you out, because if you make it far enough along while you're playing, you'll be walking on a world and you'll look up and there'll be like a ball coming. It's like, whoa,
yeah,
it's growing slowly. Yeah. Crap.
And you lose, buddy. And you lose everything. You die.
It's very intense in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just die.
You die. You start lose over. Your whole schmear. There's nothing good about dying in that game.
No, it's not.
And then you wake up where you were at the beginning again, and you're like, oh, I'm back to exactly where I started before.
Right. Mm. But some of the exploratory parts are fun, as far as you have these devices, alien technology that allow you to listen in. So you can listen into a planet to see if it has anybody that is there that you want to explore and to discover. So a lot of characters that you're going to encounter are playing very specific instruments, like banjos or some type of pipe or something. So you can kind of navigate the stars using this sensoscope. I don't think that's what it's called, but that's what I'm going
to
call it.
Yeah, yeah. You can go. It's basically a way to hear activity happening in different places.
Right.
And these creatures are playing banjos by fires. You can roast marshmallows for heaven's sake. It's weird. Yeah. It's freaking weird.
Have you roasted a marshmallow yet without burning it? Because
I burn it every time.
Every time.
Yeah. Just like real life, by the way. Just like I really do. I never got good at that.
I'm not that bad, man. I'll tell you what. But I am loving this game. The idea of this random destructiveness of a universe while trying to follow a storyline is just amazing. Developer is Mobius Digital.
Yeah.
And I'd like to play more of these kind of games.
They won they won an award for this in 2015, and they've been working on it since.
Right. I'll tell you what, though. It's a slow start, man. Mm-hmm. Slow start.
Oh, yeah. Very slow start. But once you get in there, it's really interesting. I agree. I played a bunch of it as well. I don't know how I feel about the reset mechanic yet, because like I say on the show all the time, I hate timers. I hate them. Yeah. And so this has, at its very core, this game has a timer in it, and it's hugely important, this timer. And you lose your, it feels kind of hardcore at first. It's like, holy shit, I have to do that again. But as soon as you start to understand, oh, okay, this is about me learning from the last trip. And then the next trip I go out, I'm like, well, I'm avoiding that giant sand pouring planet. I'm going to focus on these other things.
Good. So you're actually in an endless time loop, and you're trying to resolve things. And that's what's happening. you're like, you only have like so much time between each day, each groundhog start day that you can discover things. The good news is, as you discover things, they're all kept in the ship's log, which jumps with you. So even when things go bad, you can.
It's almost like instead of resources or money going back with you, like a lot of roguelike sort of games, this game sends your memories and information back with you.
Right.
So you have some knowledge and it's stored, and that's a weird thing, but it works. It's really weird. It's very interesting. Right. Kind of
Outer
game.
Wilds.
Sidian says it's very Majora's Mask. Yeah, I guess so. There's some of that, and the timer thing in there drove me crazy too, but I think I like this a bit better. I hated Majora's Mask. I was not a fan.
What'd you think about the characters you play as, those aliens?
They're
cool. I don't know if I like them or not.
I think I like them. I don't know. Because
they're kind of jerks. I don't know.
They're kind of dicks, but the actual characters, like their design and how they fit in the universe, the stuff's made out of steel and wood is interesting to me. I like being, it's the kind of game I wish I could just go out and explore and go to planets and not have the 30 minute window. So I'm still a little torn on that timer thing, but for the most part, it's a neat little, and everyone's talking about this right now. It's like the hot new indie game.
And I wish there were more locations to visit, because the universe is pretty it's pretty sparse. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot to explore. Now, there is a lot to explore once you get on the planets. There's one planet that's really cool. It has a bunch of tornadoes everywhere. It's like a little bunch of typhoons everywhere. And you got to avoid those things to try to land your ship. And once you do, this has happened to me before. Have you got stranded? I've gotten stranded so many times
because something happens to my ship. Stuck on the ship, or I landed once where it was too much close to an edge and ended up gravity sucked it off the edge of the planet and it kind of floated off into some weird orbit. Like that stuff happens all the time.
And you have to keep an eye on what's going on, because your suit that you wear when you get outside, first of all, you got to watch your O2 level, and you got to make sure that you get some oxygen. And when you approach an area that has trees and stuff, on a habitable planet, it'll recharge that. And you also have to worry about fuel, because that is only rechargeable by going back to your ship. So if you lose your ship, big trouble. And another thing I look at is the gravity too, because not only when you're landing, but when you're trying to jump areas, oh man, I've made that mistake so many times, thinking that I could just, do my usual jump, and then I would jump and I would fall to my death immediately. And I'd be like, oh, it's the gravity two times.
It uses some form of Newtonian physics. I can't tell you how much or how well, but it definitely has that thing of, I'm pulling in too close to this moon, it's changing my trajectory, oh shit, I need to steer into, whatever it is. And then landing is just precarious and scary, and then you got to fix stuff because you landed too hard. And
I'd like to see this game mechanic placed in more games. I'd like to see more storylines, because I really dig that random destruction that happens, that you're kind of going against. I kind of like that.
I really like just going to what is started out as a dot on the screen. And I mean, it's basically No Man's Sky in a lot of ways. It's like it's like 30 minute No Man's Sky that resets every 30 minutes.
It's out really of the wilds. Weird. It's on the Xbox for sure. It's on the PC. Is it on the PlayStation?
It is. I don't know. That's a great question.
I think
question.
It's on the Switch though. Let me see.
No Switch, as far as I know.
No Switch? I thought it was on the Switch. It'd be a great Switch game.
It would be, but I don't think it's there. Pretty sure it's on Xbox and PC at the very least.
Yes, absolutely. We can verify that, because we both played it there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hit somewhere.
Yeah, that's what happened.
All right. Also, just a quick note from Brian that he is he's playing. Are you playing Far Cry New Dawn, or you're thinking about it?
Oh, no. I have purchased Far Cry New Dawn on a sale with my Xbox Live. I purchased it on Supercell for 18, 15 bucks, something like that, a while back on the Xbox. Hadn't really played it until last week. Started playing it, loved it so much that I didn't just want to play it in the living room, so I bought it for the PC as well on good old Green Man Gaming. It's like 17 bucks right now.
Jeez,
and I have just I have been going Far Cry crazy. Between New Dawn, picked up Primal for super cheap on that sale the other day at Epic, based on the Ubisoft store. Mm-hmm. I've been loading my old Far Cries. I'm thinking about getting Far Cry 5. I thought I already had it, but apparently I didn't. By the way, New Dawn is the sequel to Far Cry 5. Didn't know that. You probably knew that, but I didn't.
I did know that. It's like a direct sequel, and it's not even a full game. It's like a mini-sode. I mean, that's why it's cheaper, generally speaking, but it's not meant to be a full-size Far Cry game, but yeah, straight up.
I've enjoyed it a lot. I've made many mistakes, and I've had a few successes, and that's always.
Gotta watch out for those twins, yo. They'll get you.
Every time, every stinking time. Oh, man, and I hate permadeath losing characters that are supposed to play along with you.
Oh, I accidentally killed a couple of them in a really gnarly way. And I thought I went, how is this even possible? Because there was like huge story out of that character. There's no way I've killed him.
Primary character that I started with, is it Carmina, I think her name is?
Yeah, I killed her too.
I didn't kill her. She killed her own stupid self. We were on a mission, and I was riding my little motorcycle. And she was riding the sidecar, you know, Robin style. And I had to stop and help this one guy, but we were kind of close to this village. We're kind of close. And somebody started shooting at us. And so she takes off and she gets right in the middle of it. And next thing I know, people are dropping bombs and everything. And I'm like, what are you doing? Run, get back in the vehicle. And she wouldn't do it. And so she finally died.
That was the end of that.
I revived her like 8 times. And I was like,
here's the irony. I prefer that. I like that game more than Rage 2. I thought Rage 2 was going to be all that. And I like New Dawn better. If you're talking about post-apocalyptic, oh no, world, the society is broken apart kind of shooters. The real flip for me is which one I liked better. New Dawn is a better game.
Oh, I think it's a lot of fun. Talazoral, how do you say that? Talazoral, I always get it wrong. In the chat room says, I can revive her in the menu. Just spend some resources to bring back your team.
Yeah, you can do that. Once somebody dies, you can go back and bring them back. Yeah. Yeah, that is a thing. That. I never did that with her, but I think I have to because I've got story missions I can't do without her.
So I got to
go revive her. Plus, her mom will be pissed if I don't bring her back.
I didn't know it was from the menu system. You know what happened with Far Cry New Dawn for me?
What's that?
I was wanting to Twitch at the same time. This has happened in a couple of games. I'll start doing my test stream, and then the game will get into like a tutorial mode, and I'll be trying to jump between the tutorial and setting up my stream at the same time.
Yep.
I probably should just play my tutorial first because I miss everything in the tutorial.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Hey, Brian, you want to play this game here? It's time for us to play Guess My Game. That's right. Sound clips from games. Sometimes they're old, sometimes they're new. Sometimes nobody has any idea what they are, but I'm going to play this clip and you're going to try to guess what my game is. I'll tell you this, it's a game I enjoyed when I was a lot younger. That will be your hint. All right, here you go.
Are you in a marching band?
It does sound like it, doesn't it? It's not. Do you have any guesses?
Breakout.
Nope. Incorrect. I'll give you another hint. It was made by Capcom.
Breakout.
Nope, not Breakout. Any ideas?
I can't even envision the graphics. Usually I can at least envision what's going on the screen. I can't even envision what is going on the screen right now.
Imagine a top-down view and you're shooting guys that come at you. Let's say it's reminiscent of Galaga, but set in a time that's more like real life. No ideas? No ideas?
No.
All right, that's a game I put a lot of quarters in called 1942.
Ah, 1942.
Yes. You remember that game? It was a great game.
I do remember that game. I never played 1942. I walked by it a lot and thought, what is this? And I think I was getting it confused with something else, and I kept thinking, I don't want to play that. But then later on, I had seen some footage, and I was like, I should have played that.
So top down, man. Top down shooting. That's what that thing was. I enjoyed it. All right. Tondagosa did not get that right and says he should have. Let's see if they get yours right. I'm going to play yours, and I don't have any idea what this is. So
good luck, suckers.
Here goes.
Automatic transmission. Thank you.
California. Hold on.
City of Compton.
that one that looked like a voodoo card was in it.
Oh, because the graphics?
Is it California Racing?
You're kind of close. That's the second part of the title has to do with California.
Let's see. Oh, my gosh. I know this.
Right.
I know
Arcade
this.
System Sega Model 3.
Yeah. Hold on. Oh, my gosh. I can't think of it. Chat room, do you guys know? No?
Big name. You might have saw this as you walk past the arcade. It had the nice big bikes you'd sit on. Sitting on the bike. That's like a real bike. Here I go. Ooh, is this a Harley Davidson?
Wait. They were motorcycles?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. Harley Knights. I have no idea.
Harley Knights, absolutely. Harley Davidson and L.A. Riders.
Oh, L.A. Riders. I played that game.
L.A. Riders.
Freaking L.A. Riders. That's not a great game, but it's a good arcade game.
Good game.
You couldn't play that outside. If you don't play that, if you played that on like a home console, you would hate yourself. No. Because it's meant to eat quarters.
The only thing fun about those kind of games was getting on the big, stupid, pretend bike and going.
Yeah. Totally, dude. Let me see if I can find a shot of those bikes. Because they were great, fantastic. Big, like,
yeah,
two player sit down. Oh yeah, this is Sega. Sega as hell.
Sega.
Sit here, chat. I'll show it to him right here. It's about as Sega as you get from that era. There you go. Look at that. Full on bikes, and they would rotate and move and pivot. Oh, those were the days. There you go, L.A. Riders. Well done. And it had had Harley logos on it, right? Didn't it?
Looked all right. Yeah. I would love to. I would love to have the little arcade cabinet. But man, what I would give for a gimmicky game like that to get on and.
What would you give? What would you?
I would give 2 Klondike bars.
Wow, that's awesome! Nice work.
You're expensive.
All right. Well done. Coffee. That leads us into this right here. We like to read your emails and play your calls. Okay, we actually got a call in April, and I forgot to play it. I left it languishing in a folder, forgot I had it, have played other calls since. This one was just like the lost little call that couldn't get home. So I'm going to play it now.
Somebody's going, oh, man. Yeah. I know I was next in line. Come on.
Yeah, this was like April. So we're going to play it and see what it was. April 17th this was sent. Here you go.
Hey, I'm calling about the latest episode of The Boop Show, and I was listening to you guys talk about The Witness. And I got to tell you, keep going. There's a big thing that happens in that game, and it happens at a different time for everybody. But there'll be something that you are suddenly aware of in the world, and once you see it, it's going to drive you crazy, and it's going to make you never want to stop playing. I promise. Keep going until you see more than the puzzle. Thank you. My name's Ben.
Okay. I couldn't hear what his name was at the end. It was Dave or Dan or something.
I believe I was playing The Witness.
Yeah, you were, and I ended up getting it, and I fell off of it because puzzles are hard and my head hurts.
Some of those puzzles were really hard. But I think I remember talking about that when I was playing it. The problem was the puzzles were not like, okay, walk down this road and solve this puzzle, which will prepare you for the one. This is the next down the road. Sometimes you would go down the road, you do one puzzle, like, oh, I got it figured out. You go to the next puzzle right down the road and be like, oh, no, I don't know what the crap I'm doing.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, circle around a lot. So
this is all true.
Kind of difficult for me.
Yeah, I could get back to it. But the minute he mentioned it, I went, oh, yeah, I should poke back in there.
I think I know what he's talking about because I do remember it freaking me out. So I think I know what he's talking about. Well, but I won't want to spoil it for anybody.
Jonathan Blow makes a hard game. Maybe I should play it again. Got an email too. Says this is from Sitwell 45, who says, "Hi Boopers, loved all the E3 coverage you put on the feed. Question for you: does that kind of thing burn you out too much? Keep up the great show, Sitwell 45. I mean, it's tiring. At the end of last week, I thought my brain was going to explode because I just was too full of information about games and had to parse it all. And it's just kind of hard. You get kind of dumb after a week like that, but." I really enjoy doing it, so it's not that kind of burnout. It doesn't burn me out I don't want to do it anymore. I love doing it.
Absolutely. It does. If you've ever been to a convention, it's kind of it even though it was remote, we covered a lot of it.
Yeah.
And you do feel a bit of burnout, but you just feel tired. Then after you get a couple of nights sleep, you're right back at it. So it's not like you said, it's not like a full burnout where you have to take a month away from anything. It's just a lot of information to take in a couple of days.
It's another good racing game. Burnout. I like the Burnout series. Burnout. Although I'm pretty sure Forza 4 might be better than Burnout Paradise.
I'm enjoying it.
That's a horrible thing to say, but I feel like it's real good. We should play it. It's good. Except I don't like how the Game Pass doesn't let me get all the DLC for free. I got to pay for that.
Yeah,
so it's a little bit weird that I have to pay for that and that I don't actually own the base game if I stop the subscription. So I would own DLC without... That's weird to do that. You should just give me access to all of it the way EA Origins does. Just let me have all of it. And if I'm not paying, then I have none of it.
Yeah. But it's weird how it's tied into Xbox Live as well. Because... like I said, Zoe was the first one to start playing it, and she started playing it and had no trouble. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, if you want to do this, you have to have Live. If you want to do this, you have to have this part of the service. If you want to do this, you have to download this. And of course, like you said, if you remove one piece of that, you'll still own other parts of it, but not the game. So it's a really weird pricing structure on that game.
Yeah. Luke Sidewalker says, what about Twisted Metal? Twisted Metal is not a racing game.
Yeah.
Twisted Metal is a kill everybody game, and it rocks. I love Twisted Metal. Don't get me wrong. But
Crazy Taxi, that's my favorite. My racing game.
I love Crazy Taxi. Except you know what? Crazy Taxi is all based on time. They need to redo that game so that instead of time being in your way, other stuff like a car will pull in front of you for no good reason. You have to take a detour because the road's out ahead of you, and it wasn't last time you saw that road. Like other ways of doing it. I would love a modern Crazy Taxi with like progression and all that stuff. Yeah. I would love it. Oh my gosh.
You know, about the time I was getting tired of Crazy Taxi, the Simpsons came out with one.
What was
Crazy
that called?
Taxi type.
Do you remember
it was
that?
Like a Simpsons Road Rage or something. Was that it?
I think so. It was really good. It was great.
Yeah, I had fun.
Yeah. I remember liking that. That was a original Xbox, PS2, GameCube era, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you're correct.
You remember the Crazy Taxi music? Hold on, I'm going to find it.
Oh, I love the Crazy Taxi
music. I remember thinking it was real good at the time. Let me see if I have it right here.
Oh, it's crap, but I love it.
There was an Offspring song, but that's not the one I'm thinking of. Here it is. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
No, not that one.
Definitely Offspring, though.
That really annoyed me just now. Okay, how about this one? That was Offspring, yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't the one. There's a one that's like a theme in the arcade. A Crazy Taxi arcade. Hold on. Arcade music. All right, let's see if I can find this. No, it's all Offspring. Yeah, whatever.
The Offspring. Get it right, Scott.
It was great. Who did you always play? Offspring. I played Bumbernucky or whatever his name is. He was like a little, he's a guy with like a Gilligan hat on. Bumbernucky.
I played him pretty good. I think I usually played him too.
Yeah, that was like one of the. He was great. I don't know some about him. The rest of them seem stupid to me, but he was cool.
What do you know about the Offspring and Brian Keith Dexter Holland?
That I got to keep them separated. That's all.
Got to keep them separated. Didn't he become a legit scientist of some sort?
What?
I
don't know.
Is that what I'm thinking of?
Well,
I think Queen's
guitarist. Ah,
he's a molecular. He's a molecular biologist.
Shut up. The guy that said keep them separated. That guy.
That's right. That's what he was talking about. You got to keep those molecular separated.
Hold
on. Hey.
Is that true? That's crazy. That's cool.
True story.
I always like when guys do that. Like I can't think of his name. The Queen guy. Who's the Queen guitarist? Anyway, that guy. It's an actual like astrophysicist. Like. Full-on PhD. Like, he's all into it. Brian May. That's who it is.
That's it.
Brian May. I couldn't think of his name.
And Dexter, not only is Dexter Holland a microbiologist, he's actively trying to stop and fix the AIDS.
Oh, he doesn't like that AIDS.
Yeah. He doesn't like it.
No, no one likes that AIDS.
He's got a personal vendetta.
Yeah, here he is. PhD is an American musician, best known for the singer and rhythm guitarist and primary songwriter of the punk rock band Offspring. Oh, wow. Well done, Dexter Holland. Oh, he has his own hot sauce, too? He has a hot sauce called Gringo Bandito. Look at all the things he's doing.
Man, it makes you feel like a lazy slob. So, yeah, you could be a gamer and, you know, a sauce maker.
Oh, look at this, too. He's doing, the AIDS Project LA. Poor People's United Fund, Trees Foundation, Amnesty International. This guy's awesome. He's married to hairstylist Christine Luna.
Well, that's why his hair looks so good. Hey, you know what? It costs so much to fix his hair, he said, I'll just marry the business.
Yeah. Other interests, he's a licensed pilot. In November 2004, he completed a 10-day solo flight around the world. He's also an avid collector of stamps and the Isle of Man from the Isle of Man.
He's a stamp collector.
The hobbies, other hobbies include surfing, and he was seen in the Dahui music video surfing.
Dahui.
Anyway, that's pretty cool.
That is way cool.
That guy seems to want to do more than just keep him separated.
Right. Hey, if you're in the chat room, don't cut out just yet, because we're going to be giving away that BioShock trilogy here just in a minute.
Yep, BioShock trilogy is going out, and that's happening ASAP. So if you want that, stick around. We're going to give away, I don't know, you could call it a big game package today. That's what's going to happen.
Right. That's right out of Brian's own pockets.
Yep, Brian's own pocket.
He's got some codes, and he wants to give them away.
Like a wet, warm gummy bear in his pocket. You'll get your hands on that. That's it for the show. Big thanks to Sitwell45 and all those who send us voicemails, emails, all that kind of stuff. If you'd like to contact us, you can do it at boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. Or leave us your voicemail at 801-471-0462. You can also find us on Twitter at Boop Show. I'm at Scott Johnson. He's at the Brian Dunaway. And that's going to do it for us. Brian, do you have any final thoughts before we go?
Yeah, man. Get your game pass and come play the games. I'm mission deep.
You are mission deep. Hold on. Something weird happened with the screen. All right. It's fixed now. All right, everybody. That's going to do it. Thanks for watching. We'll be back next time with more in the way of video games and talk about video games, and we look forward to it very much. Have a fantastic week, and we'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam.